This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, November 26, 2017, The Solemnity of Christ the King, by Father William Doc Holliday.
I will bring them out from the peoples, and will bring them into their own land. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Generally, I try to get up here and give us tidbits about which we never think, things that might not be taught in our day as they have been throughout the years of the church's existence. But every now and then, you have to get back to basics. You have to get down to brass tacks. And that is foundational teachings. And when we come to the solemnity of Christ the King, this is a very difficult solemnity for us. Whether we know it or not, it's very difficult for us because we don't get the King thing. Okay? King stuff was 200 plus years ago when we fought a war to overcome that. Even countries that do have kings anymore, they are titular. They're figureheads. They have parliaments that actually run the country. Kings aren't sovereign anymore. We've lost sight of what it is to serve sovereigns. Historically, you had times when sovereigns in Japan, for instance, if you cast your eyes, when you saw the royal carriage come by, it doesn't matter what you were doing, you were on your face. And if you would look up and even look at the carriage, execution. You're done. You don't even look at the king. Kings could arbitrarily have you executed. They didn't like the way you looked. That is sovereignty. Nobody charges them. People don't claim that they know their rights. People aren't going to sue them. That's a king. Our Lord Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Human beings have skewed and deformed what our Lord is for us, but he is a king. He is sovereign. He holds absolute sway, and it's very practical. It's not just an abstract churchy concept. It's real. You have a king, and you need to be a proper subject because he is sovereign. His rules go. You don't make up your own. And that king is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the most glorious of kings to serve. See, we in our fallen nature, and because of when we are brought up in the history of time, we have a disconnect. We have to learn how to serve properly. To serve a king and not do what he says all the time, or to pick and choose like his precepts are a salad bar, that's called Protestantism. I'll take this, I'll do this, I believe that, I don't believe that. The king has made a castle in this world. That castle is the Roman Catholic Church. It says, you are Peter, on this rock I will build my church. Everything other that calls itself that is something else. That's the church he established. That is his castle. And it has rules, house rules. And you must abide by them to be a good subject, even if you're in the castle. That's the true problem right now. There are a bunch of people living in the castle saying, yeah, he's our king, but still deciding themselves. That's not really true. Or he used to say that, but he doesn't say that anymore. Or I don't think he should say that anymore because I understand more. Really, you know more than the king. Another difference between our king and the other kings is they inherited their kingdoms, either by force or by heredity. Our king made his kingdom out of nothing. He spoke and it leapt into existence out of nothing. That is sovereignty. That is a king. And the practical question is, are you serving him as if he is a king? And this king is our Lord Jesus Christ. As I said before, human kings have twisted and deformed what it is to be a righteous sovereign. Kings are always watching for the goodness of their flock. They don't sit in carriages and have people executed because you cast your eyes upon them. Should you approach your king in reverence? Absolutely. Should you approach your king on your knees? Absolutely. Imperative. But because of love, not because you're afraid he's going to bash you over the head or kill you. He wants you to love him, and we will exhibit that love by being obedient. And part of this loving watching, and this is a part you don't hear about your king, even from within the castle a whole lot, is when the king is discussed, everything about his love and his watching and his mercy, and you don't very rarely hear about his justice. Part of loving you is being just. What kind of respect is a king going to have if he lets his subjects decide which one of his rules they will obey and which one of his rules they will not? Is that a king? Is that sovereignty for him to do such things? No, he must be obeyed. Very practical. He judges. The king judges. We lose sight of it. Oh, Jesus said he didn't come to judge the world. No, he didn't come to condemn it. But he even tells us to judge it. He says, by your fruit you will know them. What is he talking about? Judging the fruit. Is it good or is it bad? And if we're supposed to do that, how much more is he going to do that? Are my subjects good or are my subjects bad? This is our Lord Jesus Christ, the personification of mercy and love. It is unmistakable that this Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Moses never claimed to be king. Muhammad never claimed to be king of all. Buddha, Confucius, none of them ever claimed to be king over anything. Our Lord Jesus Christ claimed to be king. That first reading today from Ezekiel, talking way back in the Old Testament, it's talking about God. Undoubtedly, this is God of whom we speak. And it says, I shall feed them with good pasture. They shall lay down in good grazing land and on fat pasture. Come on, Prophet Ezekiel, what's the big deal about the lawn service going on there? You know, what's the big deal about the green pastures? Because Ezekiel is pointing forward to something when he talks about these green pastures. Because when you get into the New Testament and you read stories, for instance, of Jesus Christ feeding 5,000 with a couple fish and a couple loaves of bread, we get these little anecdotes by the Holy Spirit, these little additions. The Gospel of Mark, Jesus Christ commanded them to all sit down by companies upon the green grass. The Gospel of John, now there was much grass in that place. Come on, Holy Spirit. You know, you only got limited space. Why are you throwing in about what the grass looks like there? Because if you have eyes to see, it ears to hear, When people see that and they hear that from the Holy Spirit, they understand. They understand that this one who is feeding 5,000 is the one of whom the prophet Ezekiel taught, God. I'm not a teacher. I am not a prophet. I am God Almighty Himself, of whom the prophets spoke. This is Jesus Christ, and Him exclusively. Like I said, I just ran through a list of names. None of them ever claimed to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They have all kinds of subjects. They have all kinds of people following them. And they never even claimed to be king. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He showed us that He was king. And He actually says it explicitly. Now, what is Ezekiel talking about, this shepherd? And this isn't Good Shepherd Sunday, but what does a shepherd do? He leads his flock. And Jesus Christ says Himself and explicitly, I am the Good Shepherd. I'm the Good Shepherd. I am the King. I am the one who said, behold, I myself will search for my sheep. We are not made to serve our Lord by force. You do it voluntarily. You can only take the sheep analogy so far. Sheep are dumb animals. They do not reason. They have to be poked around and prodded to go to the right places. As I said, we can't take the analogy too far, but a lot of us are like that. We are all like that in our fallen nature. We don't know what's good for us. Even after we become Christians and Catholics and all that good stuff, as pious as you may be, there is still a misunderstanding of a lot of things that may be good or bad for you. There's no question if you just listen to the shepherd, listen to the leader, be a good subject to your king, because we know who it is. It's not this concept that God, this faceless, eternal being that's transcendent in the heavens that I don't understand and can never comprehend, is the king. He's put a face on Himself. He has come and dwelt among us. It is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He expects His people to be good subjects, because He will judge as to whether they are or not. The passage from Ezekiel is written primarily in the context of God dropping the hammer on bad pastors. He talks about all the deficiencies of the pastors, all the deficiencies of the under-shepherds over whom He has put His people. And He said, I'm not going to deal with this anymore. I myself will search out my sheep. I will call them to myself. But the crimes of the pastors do not excuse the flock. Because as I said, we're not dumb animals. You have been made in the image of God. You bear His likeness. And you have been given dominion. You share in His sovereignty in this world. I'm not in charge of anybody. Yes, you are. It starts here. This is where it starts. You're in charge of yourself. You have to make sure you're shepherding your own soul properly. You can't shepherd your own soul. How can you be expected to have dominion over, for instance, your family? Your family, how are you supposed to advance? And that's the mandate of the king. You, my subjects, I'm going away for a while. You need to advance my kingdom. You need to build and expand my castle. I want more subjects, and you need to go out there and you need to tell them how gracious and glorious your king is, how much He loves you, how much He does for you, that you, everything that you have comes from Him, and it is all good. That's your job. That is the command of your king. Are you a good subject? The crimes of the pastors, just because you get somebody wearing a certain color hat or cassock or whatever, and they tell you something, you are supposed to know your faith. You're supposed to know what the Catholic Church has taught for 2,000 years. You can't say, well, I didn't know. You should. You should, because you are supposed to be a good subject. You let that pastor deal with himself. As soon as you hear something that comes from them that is not in conformity with the rules that the king has already put in place, or if somebody comes along and says, hey, I'm going to change one of the king's rules. You are not the king. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. With him, there is no variableness of changing. He will not change his rules. To be a good subject, you need to adhere to what the king says. Yes, we are supposed to be obedient to those whom the king has put in authority over us, but as soon as they start telling us to do things that the king said no, we can't. That's not being disobedient. It is being obedient to the king. We have been given the responsibility of sharing in his dominion. That's what our Lord said in Genesis. That's why he made us. That's why he made our first parents. He made man in his own image and likeness, and he said, have dominion over creation. Name the animals. Tend this place for me. That's what we're here for. Are we good subjects? There are two things that we need to communicate for our king. Two things primarily. And this is coming from St. Gregory the Great. He says, and I quote, we must all strive zealously to make known both the dreadfulness of the coming judgment and the kingdom of heaven's delights. We need to teach both of those things. If you just teach the kingdom of heaven's delights, and all you ever hear about is how merciful and loving your God is, you do not know how to proceed accordingly with his will. Like I said, there is no loving king who allows his servants not to do what he says or to do something different and will turn a blind eye. That's not a king. And we know we have a king. We need to listen to St. Gregory. We need to talk a lot about the kingdom of heaven and its delights. But we also have to put people on notice, and we need to put ourselves on notice that we're going to be judged. We hear that and all of a sudden it's negative. Oh, I'm going to be judged. I'm going to be cast into hell. That everybody is going to be judged, and it can be extremely positive. Because a lot of people in the judgment are going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your king. Judgment is not necessarily bad or evil or have negative consequences. That is where we have to check ourselves. Are we good subjects? Because we have to be put on notice. As I said before, our Lord Jesus Christ is the personification of justice and mercy. His gospel is the good news. That's what it means. The good news. And the last line in the gospel is, the unrighteous will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. There is a judgment of God's subjects. Are you a good one or are you a bad one? In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.